السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're recording. Which is, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written, if He has a book, and in this book everything is written. Everything is written in this book. There are no gaps or whatsoever. Okay? Now, if this is the case, then how come we have a free will? That's the question. If Allah has written everything already, then how come we have a free will? And then another question is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He guides whomsoever He wants and He misguides whomsoever He wants. He guides and misguides. If Allah guides and misguides, then where is the free will? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in the Quran that He will seal the hearing, the ears of the bad guys, so that they don't hear the truth. If Allah is sealing their sealing their ears, then why are they being held responsible for not hearing the truth? If Allah will, Allah says that if their heart have a disease, I will increase this disease, not help him heal out of the disease. I will increase this disease. Then how could it be that Allah is holding us responsible? That's the question. The silly answer of all these questions is that the silly answer that says that, okay, Allah is the one to blame. We are not to blame. Allah is the one to blame because He has written everything and He guides the ones who He wants and He misguides the ones who wants. And, you know, He is in charge of everything and I'm not held responsible. I'm not held responsible for whatever I say or whatever I do. Okay. There was a guy, the story, nice story about that. There was a guy who came to Umar radiallahu anhu. And, you know, Umar caught him stealing. So he said, Umar, don't cut my hands. Allah has written in my books, Allah has written in the destiny, Allah has written in the destiny that I have to steal. So don't cut my hand. Guess what was his reply? His reply said, and Allah has written in the destiny that I cut your hand. So there is nothing I can do about it. So he made him drink from the same cup. He says, yeah, if your Allah has written that you steal and there's nothing you can do about it, then yeah, here we go. Allah has written that your hands will be cut and there's nothing that I can do about it. Okay, so let's take it one at a time. Let's say Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. Okay, how do you explain that in the light of being free will, having free will? Okay, the first answer is that we're going to take this word, this statement that Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever doesn't wants. Okay? Can you tell me the inverse of this statement? Huh?
So I think, like, I learned last year that it's Allah said that, like, you'll get $100 at the end of the day, and your choice how you're going to get it. Like, you're going to get something, but it's your choice on how you're going to get it. So, like, will you steal the money? Will you earn the money? Will you lose some money? Like, out of $1,000, will you lost $900? Will you be given money and, like, so on?
Yeah, that's true, but it's not the answer for this question. The answer for this question, can you get the inverse of? The statement is, Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. What's the inverse of that? Inverse, the opposite.
I'm not really sure.
Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants. The inverse of that is that people are guided and misguided whether Allah wills or no, or doesn't will. You got it? So people will be guided and misguided against the will of Allah. Is this statement, could it be true? That people are guided and misguided, whether Allah wants or not, whether Allah likes it or not? Can this be true? Do you understand me? Did I lose you somewhere?
Mm-hmm. Kind of.
Okay.
So to be guided is you're following the straight path to Jannah, right? And when you're misguided, it's where you commit more sin than good deeds. You're headed on the pathway to Jahannam. And you don't obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants everyone to go to Jannah, right? But He doesn't choose whether or not we want to go to Jannah or Jahannam in how we live our life. We choose that.
Yes, what's the opposite of that statement that Allah guides the ones He wants to guide and He misguides the ones whom He wants to misguide, huh?
People will be guided if they want to be guided. People who don't want to be guided will not be guided.
Or the opposite of that would be people are guided and misguided whether Allah likes it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Can this statement be true?
Yes.
That people are guided and misguided whether Allah wants or doesn't want?
Under Allah's will.
Yeah, so if no one can say people are guided and misguided whether Allah likes it or not. No, that statement cannot be correct. Okay, so then the opposite statement is true, right? Does it make sense now? If we prove that the opposite is wrong, then the statement is true. So we proved that the opposite is wrong, which is that Allah guides Allah, people will be guided and misguided whether Allah likes it or not. Give me a ticket. Whether Allah likes it or not. Okay? Alright. Now, where is Saliha?
Oh, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Just one ticket. Doodling will make you lose the ticket. Okay. Daydreaming also make you lose a ticket. Okay, so basically, so what's the explanation then? Allah guides the ones who want to be guided, to make it simple. Allah guides the one who want to be guided and misguides the one who want to be misguided. You make the choice, basically, you make the choice, Allah makes it happen. What do you want? You want guidance or misguidance? What do you want?
Guidance,
Allah will give you guidance. Okay? And it's not by tongue. If you're seeking actually by heart, want guidance, then Allah will give you guidance. If you don't want guidance, you don't care about Islam, you don't care about Allah, you're not taking Islam seriously, then Allah will give you misguidance. You got it? You take Islam seriously and you try, Allah will give you guidance. You don't take Islam seriously and you keep going, Allah will give you misguidance. Just like what she said here at the beginning. If you decide to get your money the halal way, Allah will give it to you the halal way. If you decide to get your money the haram way, Allah will give it to you the haram way. Just like the camel story, when Ali ibn Abi Talib was going into market. Okay. Ticket. One ticket. No doodling, and we pay attention. That, go ahead.
Can I throw this away? Sit up here.
I can do it.
I'll when I can. Just put it down on the fire, and I'll take it.
Just,
I'll appreciate it. Can you just come over and just...
No. No going out now. Just leave it.
Oh my gosh, it's melting.
Okay.
Okay, go put it down there.
Thank you so much.
But
you don't need snow cold in class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's a story about Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. What about him? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, he owned a camel. And this camel was so good. And he wanted to do some business. So he left the camel with the guy. He said, okay, take care of the camel, please. I'm going for business. and I'm going to come back and take the camel from you. So the guy said, okay. Now, the guy was looking at the camel with admiring the camel, and he loving the camel. He's just like, he liked it really, really so much. He liked it so, so much. So what happened is that he stole the camel. And he ran away.
Whose camel was it again?
Ali ibn Abi Talib. He stole the camel and ran away.
Who loved the camel?
Ali ibn Abi Talib trusted the camel with a guy. Trusted the guy with the camel. Okay? And that guy stole the camel. And instead of giving. So in the way back, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu was thinking. When he arrived, he found the guy stole the camel. So he said, Subhanallah. I wanted to give him the camel as a gift. But he took it the haram way. If he would have been decided that he's not going to accept the camel the haram way, Allah would have given him the same camel, but the halal way. So Allah, you choose, Allah makes it happen. Okay? I'm sorry. You want, Allah would make it happen. What do you want? Guidance? Sure, here we go. What do you want? Misguidance? Sure, he will go. Okay? Would you want guidance and Allah give you misguidance? No way. No way. You take Islam seriously, it means you want guidance. Allah will give you guidance. You don't take Islam seriously, it means you're asking for misguidance. Then Allah will give you misguidance. Do you understand that? Okay. So, the reply to Allah guides whomsoever He wants and misguides whomsoever He wants, there are two replies. The first one, the opposite statement is impossible, which is that people are guided and misguided whether Allah likes it or not. And the second reply is that Allah, you want, Allah will give you what you want. You're seeking guidance, Allah will give you guidance. You're seeking misguidance, Allah will give you misguidance. It's whatever you want. Okay. Now, there is also people saying, okay, now let's reply to the other statement. What's the other statement? If Allah knows everything, and everything is written in the book of Allah, then how come we have free choice if everything is written? Any ideas? Huh?
Because even when something is like so clear, like right in front of them, people don't want to listen. Like people have too much control to listen. They don't... people don't always listen to what's right. Like, even if it's clearly, like, right in front of them, they won't choose to, you know, listen to them either because of ego issues or, like, maybe, you know, they just... they feel like they're right and whatever is in front of them is wrong.
Okay.
I was saying that Allah has the book. He decides not to read it. He decides you to, like... plan for it. But if Allah wants to know what your future is, He can know.
Okay, you're heading into the nail. You're getting close. Basically, Allah knows your answers. Allah gave you a test. He knows your answers before you answer them. Now, is He forcing you to follow what He wrote? No, He's not. So He's not. Do you feel that someone is pushing you to do this? No. Do you know about it? Do you know that Allah is... do you know that Allah has written what? Do you know what's written? No. If Allah wants you to force you to follow what He wrote, you would at least know what He wants or what He writes. So, now you tell me something. How come Allah knows about something that will happen and writes it down, and you still have a free will?
Wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. So, Allah knows your answers to the test, and I kind of misconstrued that after that.
Yes, so. That's the right thing. This is, if you want to cut it there, this is okay. That's fine. Allah wants your answer, knows your answer. I'll give you a simple example. If I ask you, do cows fly on their own? No. See, I asked her, do cows fly on their own? What did she say?
No.
No. You know what? I knew before I asked her, I knew that she's going to say no.
it's like when you ask us a question in class, you obviously know the answer, but you want to see if we know the answer.
Basically, I knew her answer before she answers. Why? Because I know the question is an easy question, and I know she's not 40 years old. Okay? So I knew from the bottom of my heart, I really knew she's going to say no. Same thing with Allah. Allah knows the question. For me, I know the question, which is easy question. And I know the person I'm asking, not 40 years old. So I expected, based on that, I knew the answer. It's she's going to say no. Did I force you to say no?
No.
Did I force her to say no? Then how come I knew she's going to say no without forcing her to say no? Yes,
well,
because
it's not because it was the correct answer, because it was an easy question. Just because you wrote the correct answer doesn't mean that the other person is going to give you the correct answer.
Yeah, because I knew, basically, literally, because I knew her, I knew the question, so I figured out what her answer is going to be. Okay, this is a very simplified example, so you always use that, keep it in mind, you know. Okay. Allah knows the person really well, and He knows the question really well, so He knows the answer really well. Then, why then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us the free will to write our own book? So, your own book is written. Allah knew what are you going to write ahead of time. And to talk to you about the nature of Allah, you will be able to figure out how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is al-awwal. The one before, the one with no start. The first without start. Al-akhir, the last. You can erase this. The first without the start. And the last without end. So what do we mean the first without start? It means that Allah did not start. He was always there. Okay? But He was the first before anybody. He was the first before any creation. Any creation, He was before that. He was the first. And did He start? No. And then He is the end, He is the last without an end. Means that He's after, He's going to be the last one, okay? The last one without an end. And He doesn't have an end. So let's explain that. This is very tricky about the nature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the timeline. This is begin time. And this is end time.
Begin time, end.
Yes. Allah. Allah is the first with no start. And He is the last with no end. Do you see that? So Allah is the first with no start, the last with no end, which means that Allah is at all these times, anytime. Allah is at all these times, He's present in all these times, anytime. Anytime means what? There is, for Allah, there's no tomorrow, there's no yesterday. Allah, for Allah, everything is happening together. Like, I'll give you an example here. Do you know the picture? Like, if you have a picture board? Yes, go ahead.
You can go on
this. Okay. If you have a picture board, and this picture is showing you a picture when you're born, your first birthday, school, blah, blah. Second, you have your storybook on a board, okay? If you're looking at the board, you're seeing everything together, happening together, right? So you see yourself being born, and you can see your life, and then you can see yourself dying, okay? Right? Do you have to move on in time to do that? No, you can just like looking at the pictures, all of them are happening together. Right? You understand that? So, basically, like storyboard. And you have pictures all the way. You look at this storyboard, you're seeing everything, huh? You're seeing everything what? Together at the same time. That's what Allah, that's the nature of Allah. Go ahead.
So just like when you're writing something, like you can like write your whole life so quickly. So it's like you can write like, let's say the life of one person, their whole life in, let's say, a day. And is that what you're basically referring to? Like,
yes, for example, that's another example. But I'm making it easy. The storyboard where you put your life or the life of someone on the board. You don't need to move in time to see the next picture. You can see all of them together. And this is exactly the nature of Allah. This is why Prophet Muhammad, when he was invited by Allah, and he was able to see Jannah and see hellfire and see things up there, okay? He was able to see what people in Jannah. He was able to see people in Jannah. But they have not entered Jannah yet. You understand? So whatever is it, it's everything is happening at this. For Allah, everything is happening right now. There is no... Allah contains the time, basically.
Basically, like, it's happening... Everything is happening today, like right now.
Yeah, just like storyboard. Okay. Allah, are you inside the storyboard or outside as a human?
Outside.
So Allah is outside of the time. So Allah contains the time.
Yeah,
the day of judgment.
Okay.
When the time ends.
After the day of judgment, when like everyone is in like either Jahannam or Jannah.
That would be a different start.
Okay, so that's just like a whole new start.
A whole new start. Yeah. That's why Allah said in the Quran, I've created the first creation, and I'm going to redo it again.
I'm just checking. So like Jannah has no end; it'll just go on and on.
Yeah. Hellfire. I mean, there are some statements about hellfire. Some people say hellfire is forever, and others say hellfire is not forever.
Like, example would be all Muslims will go to Jannah, inshallah. But if depending on your sins, you may be in Jahannam. But it's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for how
even
long you go to Jannah.
What people, what I meant is that the Jannah is going to be destroyed. I'm sorry, the fire is going to be destroyed with whatever inside. People who are not going to get out of fire, okay, at all. No Jannah for them. So after so many years of punishment, they received enough. So Allah destroys the hellfire, and they will be in the hellfire. They both will be destroyed. Cease existence.
So that's after all the Muslims have went to Jannah.
Yes.
So like, let's say there's a Muslim, and he or she wasn't the best Muslim in the world, but so they're in Jahannam, and then they're, let's say, the last person to go up to Jannah, and then... they're the last person, and then all of hellfire with all the non-believers.
Yeah, the first layer, Muslims are going to go to the first layer of hellfire. The longest guy that you're talking about, the last guy to get out of hellfire, is a guy who stayed in hellfire as long as the duration of heavens and earth. Mm-hmm. Like 14, some people say the universe was created 14 billion years ago. Mm-hmm. And we still have more to go, more than the 14 billion years to go. So that person, let's say 15 billion years, the whole thing. So that person is going to stay 15 billion years. That's the last one. That's the last one is going to get out of hellfire. So, yes.
I have another question. So, how does the beginning of time start after Allah was there?
Allah was there first.
Yeah.
So then he started time, and then he ends time, and he's there after the end of time. Yes.
So, I'm still confused. Like, he's there, but time hasn't started yet. So he's there.
He's there, yes.
He's
always there. There's a constant and there is a variable. Allah's constant. He's constantly there. Okay. Now, let me give one more point and come back to the question. Okay. Let's say I was born here and I died here. And this is my lifespan. Am I inside the time or outside of the time? Inside the time. I did not exist. I was dead. Actually, yes. And then I was born into life. Then I die again. And I disappear. I completely disappear. You will not see me again. After the point of death. That's it. Done. Disappear. You won't feel that. When my wife gave birth to my first child, I saw the miracle of birth. I was crying because this guy, the boy, Muhammad, he came from almost nowhere. Suddenly we have a baby. You know, suddenly we're three. Where did this guy come from? He wasn't there. He wasn't there at all. And then suddenly he came. Okay? Now, so the bottom line that I'm trying to say, what I'm trying to say here is that everybody's contained in time. The only one that contains time is Allah. So the time does not contain Allah. Allah contains the time. So if you think of it like this, think of it like that. Allah has the time, beginning, end. And He's outside the time. He can see the entire time together like that. We have to step through time. He doesn't have to step through time. Everything is happening together. Yes?
We believe in life outside of Earth.
Allah said He creates whatever you don't know. I mean, Allah has said He creates things that you have no knowledge of. So we don't know everything that Allah created.
Going off Sadaba, she said that the Quran says that there's Ya'juj and Ma'juj, so they're technically aliens because they're not from Earth?
No, from Earth, because the story at the end of Surah Al-Kahf, just go read the story at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. It says that they asked the Dhul-Qarnayn to build a barrier wall to keep them away from humans.
Wait, who?
Dhul-Qarnayn. Read at the end of Surah Al-Kahf. End of Surah. Just read it. You will get the answer right away.
Okay. And also, this is kind of just slightly a little more into the Jannah thing. So what about those Christians who are really good? So they don't get Jannah either, right?
No, Allah knows. Okay. You can't really tell.
You can't judge.
You can't really tell. Okay? Whatever the Quran says that Allah whomsoever makes partners with Allah, or whomsoever makes equals to Allah, and whomsoever has a bad image of Allah is not going to go to Jannah. Okay? That's a general statement. Okay? So, generally speaking, yeah, they're not going to Jannah. However, everyone is a special case. So, I need to generalize because I need to apply the same stuff on everybody. Allah doesn't need to generalize. He knows everyone, one by one. So Allah knows exactly you. And He will judge you based on relative to the things that He has given you. And same stuff here. So Allah knows.
So are you saying a rich person should be more thankful to Allah because he's rich and he has a wealthy lifestyle? And the poor should still believe in Allah, but he's not as thankful. Are you saying it's something?
No,
you should be equally thankful.
The test for rich people harder.
Yeah.
Why? Because they have money. And their gap is big. But the poor people don't have money and their gap is small. So the test is easier. Easier. It's always easier to be poor. Test to be poor is easier than being rich. So do you understand that Allah contains the time? If I may use this, this is the beginning of the time. This is the end of the time. And Allah is holding them like that. Not only for the beginning of the time and end of the time, but also the beginning of the last day. The beginning of the last day and then the end of the last day. You say, what's the end in the day of judgment? What's the end? Infinity, right? Allah is infinity, so He can hold the infinity. You got it? Allah is infinity Himself. So the day of judgment starts and has no end, right? The last day starts and there is no end, right? Jannah forever, hellfire forever. So you say, how Allah's containing that outside, being outside of the time? Allah's containing that because He's infinity, so He can contain the infinity. He's bigger infinity than any infinity. He's bigger infinity than any infinity. So Allah is, if you have an infinity, Allah's bigger than this infinity.
But isn't infinity just everlasting, so you can't exactly get bigger than that?
Well, yes, but but eternity begins after the day of judgment, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was before everything. So,
yeah, you got it?
Yep.
Okay. So, He's infinity, and He contains the infinity. So, to give you another statement, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala controls the time. The time does not control Him. So Allah created time and He created steps. We step into time. Today, tomorrow, after tomorrow, day one, day two, day three, day four, blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Allah created time. Now, time is the strongest thing because time can make anything age. Okay? Nothing can defeat the time. Nothing can be everlasting. Because the time is going to age everybody. All creations, Allah is going to age them. The time is going to age everybody. The time can age mountains and they can collapse. The time can do a lot of things because the time is so powerful. The time is more powerful than anything. Anything the time can age. Right? But Allah is controlling this time. So Allah has it written, of course, because it's right there. Come on. It's right there, first day, last day. They are all there. They are all happening together. Now, did He force you? Absolutely not. Then how did He know? He knew the question, and He knows the person who's being asked the question. Then He knew
the answer.
Do cows fly on their own?
No.
No. Okay? All right? Okay. Now the other... You need space?
Are we starting a new topic?
No, the same topic.
No, but like so different.
Oh yeah.
So different points.
Yeah, different point, yes.
Yeah, okay, picture please.
Okay. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now if I want to know the future, what do I do if you want to make know the future? I do, huh?
You try to create your own future by becoming a good person like that. Like if you want to know the future, like you want to know that you're going to end up successful, then you have to try to be successful.
You're getting very close.
I'm saying that like if you want to know your future, you're going to have to control the past. Okay, wait. Not control the past, but like what you've done in the past is going to affect your future. So if you
both of you are saying forecast, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, you can forecast tomorrow. And now, would it be what your forecast happen or not?
Maybe.
Exactly. Now, if I try to control the future without forecasting, how? I'll make a plan. Okay? Mm-hmm. I'll make a plan. And force everybody to follow the plan. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the only way I can know the future, is by making a plan and forcing everybody to follow the plan. Mm-hmm. Does Allah do that?
No.
Allah does not make a plan and follow everybody. Allah is not making the plans. Allah knows the stuff, but He doesn't make the plans. Yes.
What powers do jinn have? Can they, like,
Did I explain to you 2D and 3D people and all those?
No.
Okay. I'll come to that. Yes.
I'll just come back to it.
Okay. There is two names of Allah, Al-Hadi Al-Mudil. Al-Hadi Al-Mudil. Okay, what's Al-Hadi Al-Mudil? The one who guides and the one who misguides. The one who guides and misguides. How do you explain that? Allah guides and misguides. Allah sees the heart of the bad people. Allah blinds the eye. It's because they have interest in misguidance. I am interested into being criminal. I just want that. Okay? Allah, because Allah, there's a free will, Allah will give me what I want. Okay? On the other side.
Oh yeah, like gang.
You don't want to be guided. I just don't want to be guided. I don't want to take Islam serious. That's it. Okay. So would Allah force you? No. Allah will not force you. So Allah will make you more blind. Allah will make you more blind. Why? Because you have absolutely no interest in guidance. So if you want, basically it's like a car. If you push the car forward, if you want to push the car forward, Allah will allow you. If you want to push the car backward, Allah will allow you. Now, if you want to be a bad guy, okay, is it always true that Allah will allow you to do the evil thing, the evil plans? No. If you want to, for example, kill someone, you want to kill that person, but you couldn't because of the police, out of His kindness, Allah does not make every bad guy able to do the bad stuff. Earth would be a terrible place if every bad guy wants to do the bad stuff. Allah would let him or let her. Earth would be a bad place. Worse than that. It's going to be a lot of corruption. A lot of corruption. Okay? So,
the Nazis, right?
Exactly.
Because a lot of the Germans wanted bad things to happen to the Jews, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted in that sense, where He let Hitler have control. And
do you know that there are so many Hitlers around? So many people have the same heart like Hitler. But which one of them Allah gave him the powers of Hitler? One. But I can assure you, there are people who have the same exact heart like Hitler's heart. Devil heart, Satan heart. And there are people who have the same exact will or intention like Hitler's intention. So Allah mitigates the damages or the evil things. So Allah makes it happen in such a way, so that not every evil guy wants to get his evil plans done. However, here we go. When we talk about the intentions, okay, if I intend to do evil, so it is written as a bad deed whether I was able to or not. I'm going to talk to you more about that later. What it's about the intention. The intentions. Okay? So, alright, so now questions. Things are clear in your mind? Allah contains time. Time doesn't contain Allah. We are contained in time. At the end of the time, Allah is going to make everything die, even the angels. At the end of the time, Allah is going to say to the Israfil, blow on the trump. So Israfil, yes.
Do angels just die off?
Yes.
When they have judgment, or do they also come back to life?
They come back. but they die first.
Temporarily.
Not temporarily. It's just like, it's complete non-existence. Nothing existing. And the souls, you know, the souls don't, they don't sleep. The souls will sleep then. Will discontinue being existing. And then the Prophet said, after 40, Israfil is going to blow up in the trumpet again. So the companion asked, 40 days, 40 years, 40 what? He says, after 40. And he did not say anything further. So something happens, and then Allah will bring back everything. But for us, we will, our souls will sleep for in this period of time. Until Allah brings us back alive. Yes.
Are there more angels than humans?
That question I don't know. But let me tell you how, what happens at the end. Allah will order the angel of death to take the lives of everybody. So then the angel of death will come to Allah and says, so Allah asks the angel of death, who's alive? He said, Israfil, Mikael, Jibril, and your slave, the angel of death. So Allah says, take the life of Israfil. Then who's alive? Jibril, Mikael, and your slave, the angel of death. So he said, take the life of Mikael. Who's alive? Okay. Take the life of Jibril. Who's alive? He said, only your slave, the angel of death. So Allah tells him, take your own life. So he takes his own life. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, who is the king today? The king today is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you're reading Surah Al-Fatiha, by the way, when you're reading Surah Al-Fatiha, Allah says he's Malik Yawm al-Din. He's the king of the day of judgment. Isn't he the king everywhere? Mm-hmm. All the times? Then why did he say he's the king of the day of judgment? He is the only king in the day of judgment. Now we have Allah as the king, and we have other kings, right? King X, King Y. But in the day of judgment, this is not going to happen. There is no King X, there is no King Y. There is only one king, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You got that? Okay. All right, so any questions so far? You understand now? Are we being forced?
No.
Okay, we write our own books?
Yes.
Now, how come whatever we write will match the book of Allah? Because Allah knows the answer before we... is exactly, because He is all-knowing. Okay? All right. Give me back your envelope. I love this class. You guys, your participation... Your participation. Your participation is good. Makes the class alive. Would that be okay? Okay. So how early you want?
Thank you, Zainab.
I have no idea how happy I was when I erased her. Because the other one was making me so upset with how dirty this one, and this one made so clean.
This is mine.
I know.
Thank you.
So it really does look like even after you take a picture?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm glad you reminded me to stop the recording.